The Perfect Stress Podcast does not provide medical or nutritional advice, nor is it a substitute for medical or nutritional advice, and is not intended for the prevention, cure, or mitigation of any medical condition or disease. This podcast provides information only. Please consult a physician or nutritionist for advice. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Perfect Stress Podcast, where we walk that fine line between being productive and overdoing it and triggering stress-related symptoms. I'm Adam Darrow, your host and founder of MyStressAlarm.com. This week, I'd like to focus on reactive approaches to health and wellness. It's funny because when I have a discussion with a health coach that I just met or some other wellness professional, and I start talking about reactive stress management, they're like, well, you know, I don't know about reactive. I don't think that's for me. I like proactive. And just so you understand, I don't use the word reactive to be provocative or anything like that. But it truly is the most accurate way to describe chronic stress monitoring because you are reacting to information rather than putting yourself in a better position ahead of time. So proactive approaches to health and wellness are steps you take to put yourself in a better position that reduces overall risk, right? So if you exercise regularly, you're reducing your risk of all kinds of diseases and other negative health conditions ongoing. Of course, it is interesting that you're also taking a risk by exercising. There's a reason gyms make you sign a waiver. But anyway, reactive is making decisions pretty much on the spot using the best data available at the time. So just like with proactive, which is also based on data, again, data supports that regular exercise reduces risk of heart disease, for example. I don't think anyone disputes that in this day and age anyway. But with reactive approaches, you're also making data-driven decisions just on the spot in the here and now. Well, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? So I think we've been conditioned to think proactive good, reactive bad. You know, now it's true, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. I agree with that, but it's not that black and white. If you're proactive about something, you could still benefit from the reactive. So I don't see those two approaches as incompatible. I see them as working in tandem for a comprehensive health and wellness strategy, including stress management. And I brought this up in episode 59, Do You Have a Comprehensive Approach to Managing Stress? So you may want to go back and listen to that if you haven't already. And I go further to argue that we all have a proactive side and a reactive side in how we approach our health and wellness, including stress management. The easiest example is getting in a car. It's easily the most dangerous thing you do every day if you drive, or even if you don't drive, if you're a passenger. Okay. This time last year, there were about 30,000 people who were alive and well here in the United States, who are dead now because they stepped into an automobile and never made it to their destination. Sadly, this happens every year. That's just 30,000, just one year. This happens every year. And yet we get in a car to run errands or go to work or whatever without hesitation because we've seen the data. I mean, we're not consciously thinking about it every time we, you know, get in a car, but we've made the decision to take the risk. Okay. Now you may be thinking, well, you know, it won't happen to me because I'm a defensive driver. So I'm good enough. I'm a good enough driver to avoid the accident, even if it wouldn't be my fault, which is partly true. But even if you are as good a driver as you think you are, there are plenty of situations where you simply wouldn't be able to avoid the accident. So let's say you're driving through a busy intersection. You have the green light. Driving, you know, right at or maybe even below the speed limit a little bit, hands at the 10 and 2 position on the wheel, eyes on the road, not being distracted. It's a clear, sunny day, no rain, no fog, plenty of visibility. Everything's great, right? But then someone, God forbid, runs the red light and plows into you. You know, it happens. There's nothing you can do to avoid that. You're forced to trust and depend on your fellow drivers, perfect strangers. Or let's say you're on a country road, single lane each way, trees on both sides, and someone's coming the other way and crosses the double yellow line. You're either getting into a head-on collision or running into a tree. Either way, you can't avoid that accident, which in most cases is a pretty serious accident. Okay? And who knows why the other car crossed the double yellow line? Could be because they were drunk. Could be because they were distracted. Could be because they happen to have a heart attack or a stroke right at that moment. Who knows? Now, there is a surefire way to avoid these accidents, which is to stop being reactive about it and take a proactive approach, meaning avoid getting into automobiles altogether. Okay? Remember, proactive approaches to health and wellness are steps you take to put yourself in a better position that reduces overall risk ongoing. Now, it's hard to argue that if you never step foot into an automobile, it's not likely you're going to get injured or die in an automobile accident. But, of course, if you do that, you're going to be labeled as having a phobia now, right? There's four different names for it specifically. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but amaxophobia, hamaxophobia, achophobia, motorphobia. Okay? And so society has determined that some things are better to be proactive about and some better reactive. Now, you may say, now, wait a minute, Adam, that's a false equivalency. Being proactive about your health has nothing to do with fear, okay? Which a phobia, it's fear. But isn't it, though? I mean, there are a lot of people who exercise like 3 times a week, being proactive about their health because they fear what might happen one day if they didn't do that. Okay, I'm one of those people. I want to control my blood pressure naturally through exercise, stress management, and a little bit in diet as well. Now, of course, there are plenty who work out regularly because they enjoy the lifestyle. They enjoy the natural high that they get from working out, as well as their physique, their figure. I'm not talking about that. But there are many people who exercise out of fear of what might happen if they don't work out, which is based on studies that have identified the risk factors for cardiovascular disease, which include a sedentary lifestyle, as well as being overweight and high blood pressure. So once again, I feel compelled to mention, even though you already know this, always talk with your doctor about your health, the risk factors, and before starting any exercise program or other treatments, don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor. I'm not offering medical advice. Okay. My overall point, the reason I kind of went off on a tangent here, is just that we have to be careful when we talk about proactive versus reactive. That's all. You know, it's not as simple as proactive good, reactive bad. Okay. Now, with regard to behavioral change, in most cases, the reactive is easier because you're not committing to making lifestyle changes. Lifestyle changes, changes to your routine are difficult to stick to. Even something as seemingly simple as meditating 3 minutes a day in the morning. Okay. And it's not because you're not disciplined enough or your priorities are all screwed up. There are specific reasons based on human behavior, backed up by research, as to how we form routines and habits. And I've mentioned this before, but I highly recommend a book by BJ Fogg, F-O-G-G, called Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything. It's based on 20 plus years of research into human behavior and how we actually form habits. It's actually the same process for forming good habits and bad habits. And by the way, I have no affiliation to this book. I wish I did, but I don't. But he goes through all the various reasons why motivation is unreliable in terms of making lifestyle changes. It's very interesting. And in the book, it's more of a manual than just a book. There's templates in there for habits that people typically find challenging. So you can use that those templates and fill them out for your specific needs. And so a lot of the work's already been done for you. And then there are other additional online support tools that are mentioned in the book as well. So again, I highly recommend it. But as the title suggests, it's doing things in small increments and building on that. That's your best bet for successfully forming new habits and sticking to them. But anyway, back in 2007, when I created this system of monitoring my chronic stress as a way to be more aware of where the line was for me, that if I crossed, my ulcerative colitis would flare up, I had never heard of the Tiny Habits Method. But in hindsight, the My Stress Alarm app and chronic stress monitoring actually follow the Tiny Habits Method, although it's very specific to addressing the habit of overworking. But it's also an easy step to take toward becoming more proactive, while at the same time having the potential to reduce frequency and severity of your symptoms, which in turn allows you to be more focused on your goals because you're no longer preoccupied with the health issues. Now, I say potentially because it really comes down to the decisions you make, which there is no right or wrong. You're taking calculated risks, but it's the decisions you make based on the data and how you feel about that and the other circumstances, again, in taking those calculated risks. So it's very important to understand that the My Stress Alarm app is not advertised to automatically reduce the frequency and severity of your symptoms. Okay. It simply provides more objective data to you, and then you still have to react to that data. Okay. And two people, all other things being equal, could look at that data, and one, based on their personality, may be more of a risk taker. There may be other factors at play, such as, what they're working on may be, very involved and require deep thought and concentration, just not something that you can easily put down and then pick up later. You know, you can lose your train of thought, and that could factor into the decision because you could end up spending twice as much energy if you keep putting something down and picking it back up to get the final work product done, and it may end up not being as good a quality as just pushing through it and getting it done. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. Point being that it's the decisions that you make, okay, that, you know, when it comes to reactive stress management or any kind of reactive approach in health and wellness, it's the decisions that you make. Well, that is my two cents for this week. I really value your feedback. Please don't be shy. You can post a comment on the Perfect Stress Facebook page, or always feel free to email me directly at adam@perfectstresscoaching.com. Well, again, that's it for this week. Please stay safe. Wishing you good health and success. And as always, thank you very much for listening. If you have an autoimmune disorder, heartburn, tension headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, high blood pressure, depression, or something else you think is stress-related, please try MyStressAlarm.com today. It's free for a limited time, there's no wearables or sensors needed, and it takes just 1 minute a day if you're slow. That's MyStressAlarm.com. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in, and if you'd like to get new episodes automatically, just click subscribe. Also, I'd be much obliged if you left a review or comment. Well, until next time, wishing you good health and success. And remember, stress less to be your best.